When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. I hope you're all well and hope you've had a lovely week. And this week's guest is Dewi Lovett. She's a comedian here in New York City. She just moved back from LA, so I asked her if she'd do the podcast. I've known her for years, and she said she would come on and talk about sex drive. So she struggled with a low libido for a really long time, but has actively worked on trying to make it better. So in this episode, she talks about that, the tips and advice and how she communicated with a partner. So it's a great insight into that if you've ever had it yourself as well, or if you've ever dated anybody who had it. So I'm really happy that Dewi came on and shared her experience. If you want to see the video for this, it's on the Patreon. So Patreon.com/The Shift Podcast is pay what you want. So you just sign up and pay whatever you want. There's also solo episodes there as well. Next week's episode will be up on Thursday because I'm recording that on Thursday. If you have any topics or guests or advice or any suggestions at all, please DM me at Katie Boyle Comic. I read all of those. But other than that, thanks as usual. And please go follow Dewi and enjoy this episode. And I'll talk to you next week. I asked Dewi to be on the podcast. Oh, well, firstly, she's a long-term great friend. And secondly, comedian, hilarious. Thirdly, we were chatting about sex drive. So we're going to talk about this and then maybe try and cover another topic. But we'll see how far we get with this. But you were saying to me that you had researched how to make your sex drive better.
Yeah, I've literally read books and listened to podcasts, obviously motivated by sad, terrible things like low libido. I mean, that's not the worst thing that could happen to you, but it got to the point where I was like, is this even, first of all, is this normal? The short answer is yes. And then the second question is like, is this how I want to live my life? And the short answer is no. So I've read at least a couple of books. Quarantine was a lot of reading about sex drive. And really, I think so much of what sex drive is from what I'm reading from like a heteronormative perspective is just like, one, allowing yourself to just like know your sex drive and be like, oh, okay, maybe it's low. That's just what it is. All right. And then no judgment. Just end that with a period and that sentence. My sex drive is low. Okay, move on with your life. And then from there, just like become aware of those little moments where you are turned on. Like notice that they do happen. Because for a second I was like, am I asexual? I'm like never horny unless somebody is actively doing work to make me horny. And I'm like, it's not fair how hard he has to work sometimes. It's so rough. But I thought, okay, I am horny sometimes. And so like, I think step one is just like notice when you are even just a little bit horny and then give yourself a high five so that your brain can notice that it's happening. And then you just like build up.
Have you found since you've been doing this research that your sex drive has gotten better?
Yeah. Or I don't know if it's the drive itself. I don't know if that's changeable, but it's the actions that come with mindfulness. I think it's kind of a mindfulness practice. So I'll notice that I'm randomly horny and then I'll text my fiance and just be like, it happened. I was horny for no reason and I want you to know. Because then he feels like, oh, thank God. Like she's a sexual being. Thank God. So that has helped because then it has the sexual conversation going. And I guess I should tell people I'm engaged and I've been with the same guy for 3 years. So it's like, we do work on our relationship and our sex stuff. So it's an always open conversation. That's so important that you communicate with your partner. Sounds obvious, goes without saying, never hurts to be reminded. It has to be a conversation. Otherwise, you're just sitting there wishing you were horny.
Yeah. Well, I think as well what you said, which is a good point, if you're, when you reward yourself for being horny, it's better than getting frustrated when you're not, because then it'll just stop you.
Exactly.
It's putting you in the mindset of you're just, it's hard to get horny when you're mad at yourself.
You absolutely can't get horny when you're mad at yourself. Even if you're the horniest person alive, if you feel self-angry or ugly, you can't, it's not going to work. And it's also just like positive reinforcement to be like, I get horny. Oh, good job. Because that means I was probably really relaxed and probably in some kind of moment, or maybe I just appreciated something, or maybe it's one of those things that just happened for no reason and I can enjoy that too.
Sam's brushing his teeth is getting louder and louder by the second you hear it.
I do hear that. I was wondering.
I got really distracted for a second because it sounded like a vibrator.
Well, I thought, at first I thought your Mac was like upset, and then...
Oh, it's the Mac.
Oh, I thought it was...
It is the Mac. It is upset. You're right. I thought it was a toothbrush.
Oh, little Mac. Settle down, dude.
Settle down.
Yeah.
Jesus.
The Mac got horny.
So what was the last thing you said?
I don't know. Was it...
The Mac was like, come on.
I'm getting into this too. It was like something about positive reinforcement. Like teaching yourself to... I mean, the basics of meditation is just like notice your thoughts and let them go. So with noticing you're horny and then giving yourself a little high five about it, or going all out and masturbating so you can teach your brain to enjoy, to like being horny and then do something about it. So now all of a sudden you're yielding a reward, like, oh, I was a little bit horny and now I get to have an orgasm. That's neat.
Do you masturbate a lot a week?
No, I don't. I used to a lot. I don't even know the last time I've masturbated.
But I think it's important. I think it should be like a bit, especially for women who struggle with orgasming, or there's some guys listening to this being like, yeah, it's good, I jerk off 7 times a day. No, whatever you want to do, but I think it's good to masturbate and to kind of,
yeah,
just to, even if you're not horny, like just touching yourself and making yourself, because it'll get you more like that comfortable with your body and what you like.
Exactly. Keep yourself acquainted with yourself. I just recently, maybe it was because you invited me on this podcast, I was thinking, shoot, I forgot to masturbate for like the last, I don't know how long.
It should be on your to-do list.
It should be on my to-do list. And I think that part of it, I was like, why did I stop masturbating? Because I have all these memories of just living in Bushwick and jerking off constantly. And now I'm like, why don't I do that anymore? And I think it's because just living with Luke, I'm like, when would I do that? But why should, it doesn't matter that.
The shower.
The shower is the answer, yeah, for sure.
Because it's your own quiet time. That's when I masturbate.
Yeah. And even Lucas is like, you can just masturbate whenever you want. And I'm like, I get that.
But then it's not about us.
Yeah. And that's a different, masturbating casually while someone's watching TV, that's a different activity. I don't think that's gonna work for me, so I just want my own. I want the shower. I want my own little cozy corner.
Plus you can go to town and like it's really more about learning what is pleasurable then, because sometimes it's sex, you are like a bit like, what are they doing, are they enjoying it?
Exactly.
It's all just about you. So you're just...
I don't have to get self-conscious. Yeah. I can be completely selfish. And then it works better. And then I can take that selfishness and apply it later and have better sex.
Well, it's funny because like if I masturbate in the shower, like I don't really make noises until I'm about to come.
Yeah, I it's just think like, so too.
Because then it's involuntary because you're just like,
you're just like, whoops.
Yeah, yeah. I can't. But Leland said to me, like, he kept being asked me, like, is this good? Is this good? And I was like, it was one time where I was just quiet. And I'm like, yeah, but stop asking me because it's distracting me. But then he was like, but I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. And I get that too. But that's the freeing thing about masturbating is I don't have to be like, oh, yeah, that's so good. Or remember to say that this is right. Or
yeah.
And I know you have to do that because I know we need to communicate what we want. But
communication is important. Of course, but sometimes I don't want to.
Yeah, me too.
And I want to not communicate without having consequence. So
yeah,
that's masturbating.
Did they say anything when you were doing the research for the sex drive? I should have really researched before we did this podcast. But so it was you were talking about the mental thing. Did they? Was there any things that were like physical things you can take or?
So not really. That I did do some research around that. I'm going to pull up my phone. And there's supplements, but it's sort of like fake.
Like vitamin D if you want the D.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, there's certain vitamins you can take, but it's so stupid. I took this mushroom supplement that I put in my coffee. It was called Moon Juice. It's Moon Juice brand. I'm going to see if I can find it. But I took it It was fine, but I don't think it made an actual physical difference. I think it was like a placebo where I was like, oh, I'm taking my horny powder, so now I'm totally horny.
And oh my God, I can't believe you actually bought some. This is
I
great.
I did, because sometime last year, I got really desperate. I thought something was wrong with me. Like I thought something was incurably wrong with me, and I thought that I would make a pretty bad wife. I was like worried about my marriage before we even are married because I was so unsexual. And now that I've been working on it for like a year, my and Lucas team conclusion is that I'm just not feeling as confident as I used to be. And a lot of that has to do with just being in the pandemic, being inside, and being on stage used to make me feel sexy and hot, and either because I was doing great at comedy and also I would dress nice. And then I just stayed home for a year and didn't get that validation. So it's like I had to kind of start over a little bit.
Yeah.
But definitely my sexual rock bottom was buying Moon Juice. I would say
you're a great wife already for doing that.
Right. Well, to be honest, it was for me more than him. I mean, it was for him, but it was for me. I was like, I want to be a sexual wife. I want to be like a hot, sexy, slutty little wife. But that just wasn't my nature. Hasn't been, I guess. So I tried that. I don't necessarily recommend that particular supplement only because it was $40
Jesus.
For like a month supply.
Yeah.
And you can just take any placebo. So you just
I hear cold brew makes you real wet.
Yeah, there you go. Can I get on the topic of wetness really quick?
Yeah.
One of the most important things I researched. Okay. In terms of not being able to get wet. Says that's one of my biggest issues just throughout my life. Like when I was like a little slut girl, dudes would be like trying to get in there and then they'd be like, what the fuck, you're not even wet. And I'd be like, oh, that's weird, I was having fun, I don't know, like I don't know what to tell you, guess we're not into it. And according to my research, that's just not even a thing. Like your brain and your body are just like, if they match, you're lucky. If they don't match, it's no big deal. Call it non-concordance. Google it.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that you can be horny and not get wet. And that's what lube is for.
That's exactly what lube is for. That's exactly what the books say. Yeah. I've also had some consultations with sex therapists. And the first thing they say is, if you're talking to me, you need to buy lube. Yeah. Like, just so make your life easier. And I'm just looking for the name of the book I read.
Because I recently have been struggling. Okay, and my issue is that I would get wet just if I saw a guy. I'll give you an example. I was getting the vaccine and a guy took his shirt off and I got wet. Like, I'm just like wet all of the time. I'm very horny.
Nice.
But not recently. I've been really, and I'm obviously very attracted, but this is the first time I've stepped past the 3 months in a relationship.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so we're like together 4.5 months now, and I think maybe I've just gotten very comfortable. So I thought it was that, and then I was like, did my vagina dry up? I'm turning 31 next month. Am I gonna have a dry? But then Leland was like, you can just get lube, like you're horny, right? You're enjoying it. And I was like, yeah, but to me, I associate my horniness with my soaking wet vag, my wop.
Exactly. And I think that's what most dudes would say. I mean, Lucas was confused, and you just have to convince your partner to listen to your words.
Yeah.
Because that is what matters. If you're not wet, but you're having fun, communicate it. If you are wet, but you're not having fun, communicate it. As best you can.
That's true, because you can get one wet sometimes and be like, I don't even want to do this.
Yeah, I mean, you can get wet when you're being like attacked. Yeah,
because you're like, ah.
Yeah, it's just a bodily response, but it's so important to focus on the mental response, communication. And then something that we kind of worked on is, if I tell you I'm having fun, you have to just believe me.
Yeah.
I had to promise to be very honest and clear, and you can't just like politely nod along during sex and be like, yeah, this is fine. That's not nice. That's not okay.
It's so interesting, because that's exactly what me and Leland had recently, because I felt bad that I didn't want to have, well, I had a UTI and I just, I fucked it up because, well, firstly, you know, I always use condoms, always. And then sometimes, like with a partner, you know, you let them stick it in for like a second.
Mm-hmm.
But my vagina is like allergic to penises.
Yes.
And I got like a raging UTI, and I got a pill from the gyno and it kind of cleared up, but then it came back. Then I got antibiotics, but I took them wrong. Instead of 2 a day for 7 days, I took 1 a day for 14 days.
Oh no. Okay.
So my doctor was like, no, you totally fucked up. She was, because I just thought I'll be fine. And I was like, do you think that's okay? But I'm still like getting up in the middle of the night to wee, and I just feel like I'm weeing all the time. And she was like, no, yeah. You, and she tested my urine. She was like, you still, so she was like, you got to take 2 a day. So I did that, and I just finished them yesterday.
Oh, good.
But I think I felt bad one of the days, and I just kind of was pretending to be into sex, and he was like, I know you're not, and don't do this, because I don't want to have sex if you just feel you have to. I would rather not. And I was like, okay, I really don't want to. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. And then I told him that it kind of hurts now in my vagina, because I think my vagina is just a bit traumatized.
Yes, that could be a real thing.
Yeah, so the other night when we were doing sex stuff and I wanted to have sex, but we just did oral, because it was like, we can just wait until you're feeling cold.
Wait,
and he's like super
healed.
Understanding, and he doesn't make it about him, which is great. But and that's probably on the rare side. I'm sure like another person might be like, well, you don't fancy me anymore. And it's like, my vagina has just been through war.
Exactly. Your vagina literally just fought a war, and it's still physically healing. And then there's the mental healing that goes with that, because you're like, damn it, I had a UTI. That's so annoying. I also just went through a UTI, and then I didn't have sex for a while. I was, because I felt traumatized, I was like, I don't want this to happen again. And so I was like, we just can't, just like, let's not mess around for a while. Just give her a minute.
Yeah.
Because I had a kidney infection as well and went to the hospital. It was terrible. But once I got back into it, I was like, okay, glad we can talk about whether or not we're even into this. But go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, going back to, how you're going to be 31 soon. I don't think that's the issue. It's just sometimes
bad for the listeners, because I know there's going to be someone who's going to message me and be like, I'm 70 and I fuck all the time. I'm like, I know, but that doesn't mean I didn't get paranoid.
Yeah, exactly, because we've been fed this our whole lives. And like, when you get to a certain age, things do change, but that's post-menopause. You're fine for now.
I was also worried. I was like, do I just like the novelty, because I've never lasted in a relationship longer than 3 months in like 8 years. And I was like, oh, is this? And then I got in my head, and then I was getting frustrated, and it was like a horrible, it's like digging a hole in your mental health. Like, you just don't drop the shovel, and then in fairness, I'm very lucky, because Leland's the type of person who's like, he's like, just relax. And like, if we don't get there, we don't get there. Like, he's good with kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be an expectation every time.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know for a long time. I would start making out with Lucas and know that I didn't want to have sex. And then I'd be like, oh no, at some point I'm going to have to explain myself. And he was just like, why would you think that we would have sex every single time we make out? It's just not realistic. Yeah. It's just sometimes we can just make out and then say goodnight.
I would feel that way too, though, because everybody else I've dated, I've always had a lot of sex with them. And there was one guy that DJ, we would have sex like 3 or 4 times a night, but I was talking to Tori about it. And she was like, I think she was like, my perception of that is you didn't have a lot to talk about with that DJ. It was just sexual attraction, where she was like, well, your boyfriend now, you enjoy his company and you like watching movies with him and you like spending time with him.
You can actually spend time with him, and it's deeper and it's different, and you can get so much more out of the relationship than sex. And sex can be like an amazing part of it, but there's just so many more parts. It's like a little garden and you have to water all the parts, and the sex part is only one of the flowers.
And when you you have a low sex drive, but how did you, you were saying you were worried you were asexual, but obviously you kiss your partner, you're attracted to him. So what made you think at that point that you were asexual?
Well, I think I just had the definition of that word wrong because it's like at the time, for whatever reason, I was too scared to have sex, and I just felt intimidated by the whole process, but I still wanted to kiss him and touch him all the time, but I knew that it's like I was scared to have sex, so I thought that was me being asexual, but really it was just like, I think some previous trauma just like popped up out of nowhere, and I had to just go through a phase of pushing that out and working on whatever it was. So it was more like fear of sex than complete lack of drive.
And do you talk about on stage what your fear was? Have you talked about that in podcasts before? Like the reason?
No, I don't think so. Oh. Like on stage or anything?
Yeah.
Like the traumas?
You haven't talked about the reason why you don't like to have sex.
Oh, not much, no.
Which I think most women at some part in their life have experienced what you experienced.
Yeah.
Which is...
We can just come right out and say tons of sexual assault.
Yes. Not that most have experienced tons. You've had two, but I think most women will have had a very, even if it's a slightly bad experience, or like on the, yours is on a big scale.
Yeah, but even...
That's going to make you have a horrible relationship with sex.
Exactly. It does feel like that's where a lot of the fear comes from. And then it pisses me off. It makes me feel like I got ripped off, you know? But also, it's interesting to say, like, I've had big, scary experiences. I think something that is kind of an overlooked bummer is that you can have a teeny, tiny, scary experience and it can really mess you up. So it's not... anything to be dismissed. You got to work through all of it. And your big scaries, if you're having a good old time anyway, that's awesome. But just make sure you acknowledge and work through it. You know, you have to take it head on, which I've gotten so far with all that stuff.
Yeah, you're amazing. I feel like you're coming at this with past trauma, which will make anybody who's experienced that, you know, have uncomfortable, like be uncomfortable with sex, because it was something that was used to hurt you.
Yeah, exactly. And it took a long time. Like I thought I would just never, ever be okay. And I even made peace with it. And I was like, well, I'll just never be okay. But then slowly I just started coming out of my shell, I guess. And having a trusting, sweetheart, long-term partner is really helpful. It's sort of the last step, I think, in the healing process, because you have to do so much for yourself, by yourself, and then bring it to the other person and be like, well, here's all my trauma and we can work on it together now. Which is fine.
Yeah, I think I liked what you said as well, because, and that's what I was trying to say for any of the listeners too, that especially with sex, and it's good for the men to hear this as well, because even something as small as, you know, what you think is small, especially to women. I remember there was this chef at my job in Ireland and he would slap the women's arses. But like, I, it used to make me feel so like I had no power because he was like a boss. I couldn't do anything. And he also, like, he's not anybody I would ever want to date. I didn't like him. I didn't like his personality. So it felt like I was being taken advantage of. And I actually hate being slapped in sex. And I wonder if there's something a little to do with that. Like, it can be really...
Yeah, it adds up and it sticks with you. And also, men listeners, just know that when you slap a woman's arse, you're ruining it for the next guy. You do all this damage to us and then you wonder why we're all shy. Yeah. Like,
like, of course, if she asks for it in the bedroom, great. Or if you're like, hey, is this okay? Or whatever, you're like, I'm feeling the moment. And she's like, but if she's like, no. But like, if you were like a boss, it's like...
It's disgusting.
It's the exact same for the men listeners. If you're a man and the head chef is a man and he's someone you're never attracted to, you would never want to date. And he just keeps like grabbing your arse or slapping your arse. And you have to work there because you need the money, but you can't complain. And that's I think that's a great way to explain it to guys, because it's just the same if you were in that situation.
Exactly.
Imagine, I don't want to fuck that guy.
Exactly. Imagine it being done to you. Yeah, it sucks.
Or like with condoms, I remember there was this... So I had a guy take off the condom.
Oh, no.
Not tell me and have sex with me. So I was very insistent. And now I have like HIV and it costs a lot of money. And it might not have been from him. It could have been from a partner afterwards who we stopped using condoms. And I only found out like 2 years ago that I have it. And it could be cleared up by now, but I have to get tested all the time.
But now you have to do all this stuff.
Exactly.
He gave you a chore.
Yeah. And the fact that I was then, when he joked about it the next day, I was like, okay, I have to go get STD tested now, which is like a pain in the hole. And it's like, for him, okay, he was like, what's the big deal? I wanted it to feel better. And it's like, I'm telling you to use a condom for reasons. So I might not have been tested. You know, he's also putting himself at risk. It'd be like having sex with a woman who says, I'm on the pill. And then she's like, bitch, I'm pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah. I hate that. I also hate, I wanted it to feel better. Like, how much better does it feel? Like, so much better that my life can be ruined now?
Yeah, you're getting sex that feels better than no sex.
Exactly.
Get like the tin condom.
How is it worth it? It can't be that good, because most of the time it's not that good for me if you're insisting like that. So how is it worth ruining my life?
Exactly. So, yeah. So
that's,
I think,
so cruel.
Yeah, for men, that's it. Slight insight into why, especially some women are like a little traumatic with sex, because it's like, even something down to like getting a UTI, it's like putting your hand in the stove, getting burnt, and then going, oh, I should go put it in again. No, you learn never to touch that stove again. So
exactly,
if you're like constantly getting UTIs, or you get an STD, or you've been assaulted, and a lot of people have been, majority of the public, or you have a guy lie about a condom, it's hard to trust people, and it's hard to trust the... And for most women, and like in your case, it's happened with multiple different men. So
right. And you can't get into it when you're on guard. Yeah. And is a lot of times you're with a partner that logically you know you can trust, but you're still on guard on just like an animal level. You've just been taught. Also, UTIs are such a big deal as far as being scared to have sex. It's like we could have the most trusting, most beautiful sex ever. Nothing goes wrong. We're madly in love. It's the best sex either of us have ever had. And then I get up and wind up in the hospital. It's terrible. It's so common. And then it's expensive.
Yeah. For all the women, they know that we always have to wee after we pee. I don't think the men know that. But I always wee after we pee. Sorry, wee after sex. Yeah. I still wee after sex. And sometimes I still get it. And then so what happens for the men is when you get a UTI. So there's your vagina is a certain pH level. You stick your penis in there. If we don't match up and it's a different pH level, or there's any bacteria going in, anything at all, and it gets in the urethra, we're peeing burn.
Yeah.
And then mine is that it gives me a bladder infection where I have to pee all the time.
Yes, it's terrible.
And then I get dehydrated. So if any guy is like, but I don't want to use a condom, I'm like, but I'm literally not gonna be able to have sex because I'm gonna be weeing fire.
Exactly. No, it's that exactly. Not wanting to use a condom is the most little baby bitch thing I've ever heard. Get over it and use it, because otherwise we're not having sex. So how is that better? I don't understand. And just protect me, you little bitch. Ugh.
And great if you meet a girl who's like, I don't want to use one, I've been tested, I'm cool, grand. But
I'm not.
That's
cool
her
with
choice.
That. Yeah.
And that's your risk too, because someone who's like, ah, it's fine, just stick it in, I'd be like, oh, I'm wrapping it up.
I know. If someone's
like, that doesn't sound very safe.
You're too cool. Sometimes, man, when you're too cool, it's like, yikes, I'm not. Someone has to be uncool and have some rules, I think.
And did you find, though, your sex drive is definitely linked with those bad experiences? Or do you think if you would always have struggled a bit with sex drive?
I think I would have always struggled, no matter what. That just made it so, so hard. Because I grew up so religious and prudy. And so...
You grew up Catholic, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know how that will automatically ruin you. So... My sisters and I talk about it all the time, that we're just like, we're age range 24 to 33, I think. And we're like, and some of us are married and in serious relationships or different levels of gay and bi. And we're just sit there and be like, wait a sec, is sex bad? I can't figure it out. Like, my sister's been married. One's been married for 10 years. One's been married for 3 years. And they'll occasionally just be like, still feeling shame. It's like, even though we're doing it the non-sinning way, it'll just always, unfortunately, part of it will always be there. You just have to keep practicing overcoming it, I think, which I'm saying, I don't know if I'm doing that yet.
It's hard to unwire something, though.
It's because it's wired in.
And I think Irish Americans are more Catholic than people in Ireland.
I think so too.
Because like Ireland has a lot of shame, and it's kind of embedded in us to feel guilty and be like, there's a bit of slut shaming, and there's a bit of like, I only had sex with one guy, and it's really like 100 or whatever. Right. You just don't tell people, or like, look what she's wearing. There, of course, there is all of that. But when I speak to an Irish American and how they were brought up with Catholicism, I'm like, well, that was way more strict than anyone I know.
You just weren't allowed. I don't even know. I couldn't believe. In high school, when people started losing their virginities, it was terrifying to me. I was like, how can you do that to yourself? I was like, don't you know the consequences? And I think even on my cross country team, the girls were all like losing their virginities and we were all talking about it. And I was like, aren't you like scared or something? Or like, isn't there consequence? And this one girl was like, what consequence would there be? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, we use condoms and everything. And I thought, I guess I can't even come up with one, or what I thought a consequence of this would be.
Hell,
I guess, is what I was thinking of. Or in like being.
Were they Catholic? Your friends? No.
It was a mixture.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
Super old.
Yeah?
Do you know this?
No.
I think I was 25.
Okay, yeah.
That's how deep.
10 years later than me.
Yeah.
I was probably too young.
Well, no, but it was like, it was. Which, this is so weird, but I don't know why I chose that. Like, I chose to wait. I thought I was going to wait until I was married. I really believed that.
Oh, I'm so
that.
Glad you didn't, though, because that journey needs to, you need to figure out your body.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Could you imagine? That would be me losing my virginity at 33. That is not, for me, maybe that's some person's journey. That's cute, but that's not me. That's one of my biggest regrets, is that I didn't do that sooner.
Yeah, because even now, with everything you're learning and your research to kind of help with your sex drive and put yourself in a more sex positive mindset, you would have been, that would have been delayed 7 years or longer.
I should have done that research when I was like 18.
Oh, no, I think it's fine that you did at 25, but I'm just saying, if you had waited till you were married, that would be a pain in the hole.
Oh, yeah, that would be so much worse. And then I would be dealing
with... 25 is fine, you're still so young.
Still young.
I didn't start masturbating until 27.
I didn't start masturbating. I know you have a joke about this, but so relatable. I did not know I could masturbate.
People just don't tell you. Well, I didn't know. I remember guys saying, oh, girls who have long nails, they like masturbate. And I thought it was like fingering. I never really knew about touching your clitoris until, like, I just thought that was there for guys to go down on you. Like, I was in a serious relationship and I never knew I could rub it.
I didn't know I could masturbate until I was like, I don't know, in my... early 20s, I guess. And when I first did it, I was like, I have to tell somebody. Yeah. Like, I thought I invented it, and I was like, I don't know who to tell about this. This was crazy. This was amazing. I also didn't know that a guy could go down on me. I knew I could go down on dudes.
You didn't know a guy could go down on you?
I think I was like 19. Wow. With my boyfriend at the time, and he started going down on me, and I thought he like made it up. I was like, how did you think of that? That is crazy.
I love if he was like, I'm a genius.
He was, well, he thought I was joking, so he just played it off. He's like, yeah, you know, how I just, anything for you. And I was like, this is crazy.
And did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was. I don't think I could orgasm. I was just so caught up in being amazed by what was happening that's all I remember is being like, I can't understand what's happening right now. This is nuts. And then I don't even know what happened from there, but it was very cool to me.
Yeah. It is so funny that you could be just like, I'm trying to think, because I think for me and my friends, or the ones that were close to me, it was more of a worry that it would taste weird or smell weird, to be like, no, you don't have to do it. No, it was such a bigger deal than giving a blowjob. Whereas a blowjob is just like so normal. And of course, why wouldn't you give a blowjob?
Yeah. Why was a blowjob so normal and even expected of me? And it didn't even occur to me that someone could eat me out? That's insane. I can't. That's unfair.
And I loved getting lickouts.
I know. It's magical. So good.
It is.
I remember. Okay. I remember a distinct change in my mind when I was maybe too old for this thought, maybe 29, but I used to have that feeling of like, oh, I don't know, just be careful. What if I taste weird? Like, it's okay. And then I remember being out for drinks with some friends, and this one guy who is just like hot guy vibes, his whole thing is that he's a hot guy, and he was talking about how much he can't stand that, and he will like eat the dirtiest, well, not the dirtiest, but you know, he's just like, I don't care if she just came from the gym, like she better, I don't know.
He's open like, yeah, up. I love he's those flavors.
Like, yeah, he was like, I don't want to deal with somebody who's not confident, because that's work for me.
Yeah,
he's like,
that's so true.
I was like, wow, that is an interesting perspective. And from now on, I'm just going to make you deal with it if I want it, within reason.
But also, that's sexier. Like, I've had guy friends tell me that they're like, because I've talked to them about this, and remember one guy friend being like, oh, if she's from the gym, Grace, like sweaty and sexy. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Like, okay, that's interesting.
Because I did date a guy here when I moved over here, and he would make us have showers before we had sex.
Oh, no, it's
so
like
weird.
That.
Me too. Because I'm like, well, sex is like sweaty and, you know,
it's
fun.
A workout in itself.
He wanted us to be like completely clean before, especially if we came from work.
That's
which
weird.
Which is weird, because his apartment was fucking disgusting. Oh, he had like dishes falling out of the sink and flies and stuff. But then he'd be like, we got to have a shower before sex. I'm like, you have to shower your apartment.
That is gross. That's definitely a projection of his thoughts of himself. He knows he's dirty, so he makes you clean up.
Yeah.
That's weird to me.
I know. And I think there's a lot with like pheromones too. So if like with my boyfriend now, like if I'm blowing him or whatever, like he tastes nice and the sperm tastes fine, and he says the same too, like he likes the taste of me. But I think your pheromones have to match up. Like, there's literal chemical, because like when I look at my boyfriend, I know he's good looking, but he's not what I usually like at all, or my type.
Yeah,
but chemically, even though he is good looking, it's not what I'm used to. A toxic man. I'm like Leland didn't throw a dish at me. Does he really love me?
Exactly. Leland is like a classically handsome person, where I feel like your past dudes have been sort of I don't even know how to say it, like a rugged sort of,
like they could punch my landlord for talking to me like that.
Yes, exactly.
No, I think this is really helpful for the listeners, and it's good insight for the lads. I hope the lads aren't like, oh, no, I don't want to listen to this because blah, blah, blah. But I think it is a good insight just to get.
It's just good to know.
Yeah.
I want to see if I can find the name of the book that I got all my. Oh, it's called Come As You Are, The Surprising New Science That Will Transform, blah, 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 by Emily Nagoski.
Oh, this is great. And Come As You Are is like one of my favorite songs. So.
Yes. I was stuck in my head like the whole time I was reading this. But it's a really helpful book. And for partners to read too. Like, I keep telling Lucas to read the book because it'll talk about if, you know, if her pussy's not wet, calm down. It's okay. Like, it's okay. Chill. Yeah, chill. And
don't be so dry if her pussy's not wet.
Yes, right? And just talking about different types of sexual responses, or some people need to be prompted or just like reminded that they're a sexual being. And other people just like walk into a room and they're like, I'm horny.
That's the way I was. But I also, so every guy I dated, I'd be like, I'm horny and I just want to have sex and sex is great. But I really would hate talking to them sometimes. And I'd be like, oh, this guy's just talking about himself the whole time, or this is not interesting.
Yes.
And now I have someone where I'm like, so I've like, I enjoy being around him and I feel like he's like a partner.
Yeah.
And I've been struggling a little bit with sex lately, but I want thing that he is amazing at doing. Because I was struggling lately with orgasming, and he was like, don't worry about it. Just let me do my thing. And if not, and so recently we were having roof sex. I talked about this on the Patreon, but
yay.
And I mean just like oral stuff, but he went down on me and I was kind of like, just like, oh, and he was like, I'm just going to try something. And if you don't like it, we'll try something else. And I was like, okay, I don't like that. And he tried something else. And I was like, okay, I like that. And he just was patient. And then I ended up like squirting, which is the first time I've squirted in
magic.
Like a long time. So it's like his patience and his like, don't worry about it. And it not being a bit. And he's like, just relax. And if we get there, we do. If not. And it just like, let me relax.
I think patience is an amazing, super important attitude. And if you're having trouble coming, you have to give yourself permission to not come.
That's
because that will
help
so hard. You. Yeah, you have to, because so many times it's like you're pressuring yourself to come and then you get too worked up and you can't do it. But even this book and all my little research, it's like just you and your partner decide that it's not about achieving an orgasm. It's just you're going to experiment together, spend time together, go through motions together. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Just have grace with each other to get there.
And this advice works for the men listeners too, because it's the same with you and your hard-ons. Like when you don't put too much pressure on yourself, when you're not, you know, we were having sex and he was I don't know what happened, but he was just like able to be like, oh, I just overexerted myself. It wasn't like, and he was like, I just need a second to recalibrate with his penis. And it's like, be in touch with your penis. Like, sometimes you overexert yourself. Sometimes you get too hot. You get too sweaty. Sometimes you're like, oh, I need to get hard right now. Or you're like, oh, I need to come right now. Like, we all, men, that's how we feel with orgasms. And women, that's how they feel. We all just need to be nicer to ourselves.
We need to be nicer to ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say real quick. I read this study that was like, they were trying to do study on women's orgasms. So they had women come into this just like almost hospital feeling room. And they were like, jerk off, you know, we just want to study this. And it was cold in there because that's that kind of place. And these women, after they got cozy socks and blankets, came so much more easily because they were comfy and cozy. So it just goes to show you can't come if you're uncomfortable.
That's so true. That is true, because one time I think my Feeny was on the podcast and it was him. He said a good tip for keeping your hard on is air conditioning, because when guys get sweaty, it kind of the temperature of their whole body is just like swamp and they can lose their hard on. So he was like, men need a colder room.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
It's just a simple, simple thing.
Okay. So I looked up. Both males and females can boost their libido using the following methods. Manage anxiety, improve relationship quality.
Okay.
Focus on foreplay.
I can do that.
Get good quality sleep.
Hard to do.
Yeah, that's hard. Eat a nutritious diet.
Okay, for real though.
Try herbal medicine and get regular exercise and maintain a healthful weight. Which is like, basically, they're just telling you to have a healthy lifestyle.
It's just a healthy lifestyle.
It's just like you need for everything. I wonder if there's anything like, how can I increase my sex drive tonight?
Whoa.
Okay. Boost your libido with 10 natural tips.
Aphrodisiacs.
Eat aphrodisiac fruit. Grab some chocolate. Try herbs. Take the supplement Yomibin.
Yomibin?
Y-O-H-I-M-B-I-N-E.
Yobamine? I don't know.
Boost your self-confidence. Great. Thanks, number five.
Cool. All right.
You just like looking in the window, be like, I'm fucking hot.
I'm hot. I'm horny.
Reduce your stress. Well, this is for tonight. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's not going to work.
And then get sleep. Okay, this isn't really... one increases high... So this one says exercising really helps with high sex drive. Ooh. Oh, my God. What? I'm not reading that next part. Some reasons that a person may have a higher sex drive include exercising. One study suggests that people who engage in physical activity tend to have higher sex drives. Drug taking, which I do not recommend drug taking, but it says stimulant drugs such as cocaine can cause an increase in libido.
Oh, yeah, but that's just have cold brew then.
That's
because it's just stimulating.
As I said, cold brew, though, and you spend $40 on moonshine. I was like, I spend $40 on cold brew a month as well or more.
But
so.
At least you get to enjoy it for more than just horniness.
Yeah. So just have a cup of coffee. Honestly. Don't do Coke, lads, because I think Coke can probably Coke. You probably can't come anyway. You're probably like a great libido because you can't.
Yeah. You can just fuck forever, but then never. It doesn't feel good for anybody.
Yeah. You have a high sex drive, but you get paranoid. You like fucking and you're like, what are you looking at?
Yeah. Bad.
No. And but changes in neurotransmitters, dopamine. I'd say though you get a high sex drive when you're on cocaine, but then I'd say it makes it lower when you're off it, because I feel like those drugs do that. They like take away your reserves of
they
your
do.
Natural highs.
They literally do. I used to date quite the little addict, and when he got clean off of coke and ecstasy, it was just really hard to he just really struggled with the whole dang thing.
So tough.
I know.
Okay, so no to drugs.
No drug, just in general.
No ketamine, Irish heads.
No drugs. Oh, yeah, none of that.
Irish people love cat. And then the other thing we were going to see, what time have we got? Okay, let's maybe briefly touch the topic. But you have a great story that I heard about how you avoided a suicide.
Yes. I didn't die. That's the end. I'll start with the end. Okay. I am alive. Okay. Do you want me to just tell the basics of the story or?
Yeah, because I think now with, okay, because you said that a lot of your sex drive is always probably affected with the pandemic. So I think people in general are going to be struggling a little bit with that, like feeling confident, sexy. But yeah. I also think a lot of people are probably having more suicidal thoughts just because it's hard to get back into the new world.
It is so, so hard. I just want to acknowledge that. It's really hard to get back into the world and to mourn the loss of a year of your life. It's freaking hard. So I guess I'll just talk about depression in general. I'm in and out of it, but one time when it was really, really, really bad, I was working on killing myself by starvation, but it was taking too long. And I was so, so deeply depressed and so suicidal that I called the suicide hotline in the middle of the night without really thinking about what it was. I just said, hey, this is my boss's email. Can you just email them for me and let them know I'm not going to be there tomorrow because I just can't do it. And he was like, and he thought I meant like I can't do life. But I was like, I just can't like send this email. It's too much for me. So you can just do it for me. So like in my depression fog, I thought that the suicide hotline was someone who helps you like wrap it up.
You're not thinking this is a prevention suicide. You're like, oh, this is like they help your, what's it like, tidy up your affairs before you
yes,
go?
Yes. I knew logically that they were the people to stop you, but I don't know why. I guess that's just part of what depression is. When you're really, really depressed, you can't think. And I think that's what leads to suicide sometimes is that you just, it's not a selfish thing. It's just like, oh, this is a thing I got to do. And so I guess that's why that hotline is important. But I called and the guy just sort of played along with me, which was nice for saving time. And he asked like what my plans were, and my plans were not that good. That's how depressed I was. My suicide was poorly planned. And I said, well, I was gonna starve myself. I've lost like 10 pounds in the last 7 days. And I said, it's just taking too long. So I'm just gonna do like drinking pills, like Marilyn Monroe or whatever. And he was like, okay, well, you know, what's your last meal going to be since starvation didn't work out? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't like, I don't have food in the apartment. I didn't really think about it. And he convinced me to order Chinese food. First of all, he convinced me to download the Seamless app. I had never had it before. I was like,
he works for Seamless on the side.
I know he might, he probably did. I was like, I guess I could hang up and call the place. And he was like, no, just use Seamless, you idiot. And I was like, I don't have that. It makes me feel fat to have Seamless on my phone. And he was like, okay, well, I guess no one will know, so just download it. And as I was downloading it, he was like, and then type in your address, say it out loud. And so he was able to get out of me my address.
He's so smart.
So freaking smart.
My God, this guy deserves like a medal.
He does. And I ordered the Chinese food. And, you know, he's talking to me and just like, you know, talking last day of being alive kind of thing and asking me about my boss. And he did email my boss, but that is a separate thing.
He's like, she's going to need the day off tomorrow.
He definitely asked for emergency contacts and things like that. But that's not the fun part of the story. A little bit went by and we were just chatting and just chatting like we're buds and I had nothing going on. And then the doorbell rang and I went to go get my Chinese food, but it was cops. And I was like, what? Are you delivering my Chinese food? And they were like, what? We thought someone was hurt here. And I was like, oh, not yet. So they came in, scoped me out. They seemed to think I was fine. They took away my little suicide tools. They woke up my roommate who I met on Craigslist and they were like, can you just watch her? And she was like, what? What the fuck? No, why would I do that? And weirdly, this is the weird part, is that they left. I don't know if that was a good choice on that. They took a ton of information and they followed up the next day. And my boss was so freaked out the next day. And I was like, oh, I think I just need to quit this job. Yeah. So I wound up alive and I wound up not being a teacher anymore. So
did you get the Chinese food in the end?
I got the Chinese food. Yes. And I ate it.
And then you felt much better?
And I felt so much better. Oh, sometimes you just need to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, for real. So often if you're feeling suicidal and sad and ugly and you just want to die, I'm not kidding. Eat. For real, eat and drink water.
Your favorite meal.
Order your favorite meal as if it's going to be your last and eat it and you might get a new lease on life.
Yeah.
I am not kidding.
And that was a long time ago and here you are.
Yeah. That was like 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I've had that myself where I've had like suicidal thoughts and stuff and like things got better, thank God. And then they got bad again, but then they got great again.
Yes, it does unfortunately tend to be cyclical, but I think you can learn from your victories, large and small, and just think back like, okay, well, I've felt like this before and then I felt better. So I hope and I can go ahead and believe that it will keep going and getting better. And then also talking to people, say it out loud.
Yeah.
Say your suicidal thoughts out loud. It's important. It really is. Your friends want to hear them. And I don't mean that in a morbid way. I mean it for real because they might be able to help you or relate to you.
Yeah, because you might have gotten to a point where you've probably maybe isolated yourself and your friends are just busy. They're just doing their thing. They don't realize. They're caught up in their own stuff.
Yeah.
And they just forgot about you and you're alone. So just reaching out to one of them, more than likely they'll come over or they'll be on the phone.
Yeah. And
they'll tell you to eat.
You've made me eat, I think.
Yeah, did I?
I think one time in Bushwick, I was just having a paranoia and I just made you come over because I thought I was going to die just of natural causes. And you slept over.
Oh my God.
And I don't know what the context was. I was just so mentally ill that I was like physically ill and I just wanted someone to be, I just like wanted supervision, I think. I didn't trust myself. But it's so important to say your suicidal thoughts out loud so your friend can either come over or talk to you or text you until you fall asleep so you can wake up and start over.
And I think this is interesting because a lot of the time we're afraid to do that because we don't want to put someone out or we don't want to be embarrassed in the future. But I don't even remember. I'm sure it was just like normal for me to go over and I was probably like, oh, I'm happy to spend the night with you. But it hasn't been something that has stuck with me when I'm like thinking about you. I don't think about that night until you brought it up there. I wouldn't have even. I think about all the other fun nights we've had.
You lived down the street at the time and I was like, can you just come over for no reason?
It's not something I ever. Friends don't judge, but I think we put a lot when we're in like a self-loathing thing. You're like, they'll think I'm annoying or they'll think blah blah blah, and you put yourself in a toxic cycle.
Exactly. But your friend will just love you.
Yeah.
And if they haven't reached out lately, they probably are just giving you space, or they're being shy too and wishing you would text them. Always text your friends.
And then there might be a shitty friend who's all about themselves and they're self-absorbed. And if you reach out and you're like, blah, 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 and they never have time, it might be also that might be causing a bit of toxic feeling for yourself. So it might be time to walk away from that friendship.
It might be time to have a friendship breakup. And that's okay, too.
You can have a friend. Yes. Break up with everybody except for the good friends.
Yeah. No, for real. Keep your good friends.
Yes. Okay. I think that's good. Where can people find you?
Oh, my gosh. You can find me. My Instagram is at doweweloveit. And I'm locked out of Twitter and I'm not going to try to get back in. I think that's not too fun for me. And I'm starting a podcast that will come out at the end of September called Movies Where. And that will be an Instagram handle that you can follow as well.
Yes.
And Katie will be on this podcast. So
I did it. It was so much fun. I can't remember what we talked. Oh, we talked about cigarettes.
Yeah, we talked so much about cigarettes. You did the episode Movies Where Guys Are Holding Their Cigarettes in a Way That Seems Like They're Screaming for Attention.
Yes. So that's perfect. Follow Dewey everywhere. And you can watch the video for this on the Patreon /the Patreon. And you'll be able to watch next week's episode up there early. It'll be with Natalie Cuomo. So I'm going to ask her some advice on fingering men's arses.
Ooh, exciting.
And I'm going to ask her as well, which is not about sex or dating relationships, but she very quickly grew her social media following, and she's a great business head with stuff like that. So I thought it'd be fun to pick her brain a little bit on that.
That's really fun.
And she's just a sweetheart too, as well. She's killing it. So if you have any questions for her or anything, please DM me. Patreon is patreon.com/theshiftpodcast. Katie Boyle Comic if you want to DM, and if you want to rate, review, that'd be great. Okay, love yous, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.